Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, this morning, let's start with the primaries yesterday. Former Vice President Joe Biden sweeps all three Tuesday primaries, Arizona, Florida, and Illinois. It's pretty daunting now for Sanders to gain any traction, wouldn't you think?
That's right. I think Biden's biggest responsibility, David, is to be inclusive, to make sure that the Sanders people come out and vote for him in what may be the most crucial election in United States history. I say that because we have a president who I truly believe is leading us towards a totalitarian form of government. And it would be my hope that all of those people who supported Biden and all those people who supported Sanders will get together and do what they need to do in order to prevent this thing from happening. Now, I watched Biden's basically victory speech. He was very careful to be inclusive with Sanders, and he's done that well. Nevertheless, a little bit more verve, more oomph, would have been better if Biden had done it. So he's going to have to campaign in such a way that he demonstrates to the American people that a man of his and our age can do this kind of work and can be there as an effective leader. Sanders has come up with all kinds of very interesting programs, and it looks to me like Biden is moving towards adopting many of them into his platform. For example, free college education, very much expanded health care. So Sanders can take great pride in the fact that he has led the way. But I do think that the American people are saying loudly and clearly that they want a leader who will be inclusive but moderate in his approach as opposed to, quote, revolutionary.
From the New York Times, Trump rewrites history with claim he knew virus would be a pandemic. For weeks, President Trump has minimized the coronavirus, mocked concern about it, and treated the risk from it cavalierly. Are we shocked?
No, I'll tell you, David, that's not shocking. I mean, we do know that the guy's a lying liar. And the Washington Post has demonstrated with thousands and thousands of lies. For him to say something like that is not at all surprising, but it is offensive because you want somebody who you can believe. Andrew Cuomo has been getting great grades, David, because he stands up there and he gives every bit of information. He doesn't sugarcoat it. You know, I know him pretty well, and I can tell you that this is his proudest moment. I'm hearing from so many people who think that this is the kind of leadership that we have seen in the past from him, but we are seeing now in a way that is exemplary for everybody else. So we have, in a time of crisis, emerging leadership. You know, Trump now owns this because he has lied about it and minimized it and now is going the other way. So it is happening on his watch. All day yesterday, I was thinking about Herbert Hoover, who was, of course, the president preceding Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The Great Depression was on his watch, and he suffered great political reversals as a result of that. I believe that's what's going to happen to Trump.
To counter that, the administration is seeking nearly $1 trillion, $850 billion, plans strict border controls, the virus now in all 50 states. We're also seeing from the Post this morning, Americans are very likely to get $1,000 or more checks.
Well, that's right. Look, nothing would lead to political instability more than people starving. Even Mitch McConnell and others are saying we have to do this, we have to swallow this. Obviously, the government has to do something to make sure that nobody in this country, no child, no adult, starves. Because if you can't be a waiter, if you can't be a bartender, if you can't be in a theater, if you can't be in a restaurant, if your business is closed, there's no income. And if there's no income, there's no eating. So the government is going to have to say, we're going to do this, even if our bottom line is seriously upset. We'll worry about that later. And that's the new line. We'll worry about the deficit later.
Probably the scariest thing about all this now is they're saying this virus impact could go on for months and months.
I have no doubt about that. You know, I'm the kind of guy who always believes you take the worst possible case. You don't start saying this will be over in a couple of weeks or a couple of months because you don't know any such thing. And so you have to prepare for the worst, and then you can be surprised and happy if you don't get the worst. You know, we're taking a look at Wuhan, where we have a dictatorship, which was seen, if you turn your television on, dragging people into houses and locking them in their own houses. That's not going to happen in this country. This country is going to be a democracy as long as it is. You're going to have persuasion, and persuasion will get.
Well, the issue of information. People need information. If you're stuck in your house, you want to know what's going on. That means WAMC has to be there. The press has to be there. And without it, how can we get through it?
No, David, you're right. And this radio station, everywhere I go, people wave to me and they say, heard you this morning. Thank goodness for the radio station, that you guys are there and doing your job. Now, we have made all kinds of special arrangements. As many people at the radio station are working from home who can work from home, and that we stay on the air, because I know how essential this radio station is. And I know that people will support it. I know these are tough times. People are looking at their 401ks and they're seeing they've lost tons of money. I know you have, David. I know I have. And nevertheless, you do what you can in order to keep the institutions that are closest to you going. And if that means a few dollars, it means a few dollars. But those few dollars will keep this radio station on the air in these toughest of times. So I just know everybody who cares about it and wants this radio station to continue will do everything they can to make it so.
As you always say, we're all in this together.
David, we are all in this together. Never in my 78 years of life has that been more true than now.
Thank you for being here, and thank you all for doing what you do.
And David, I know this is not easy on you. You got to get up in the morning. You got to get here. Your colleagues are in other places. You've done what you have to do, and you're a hero as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for doing that.
Right back at you.